Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, good morning. How are you today? I think humidity has found Illinois. What do you think? This morning I got up and thought, am I in a sauna or what is all this? It has been great to share with you and be here this week. I appreciate all the hospitality and the good times and the great smiles with the youth on Thursday night. That was just amazing, and we just had a great time. And I appreciate your hospitality here. Nancy, I just have fallen in love with this place and you people, and it's great. Maybe you'll have me back someday to share with you again. Hope that would be all right. thank you. As I shared with you last week, I work with a Pioneer. I retired 5 years ago from our church in Arizona, and I work with Pioneer Bible translators part-time, and we're translating the Scripture. We believe that we'll get the Bible translated into every language, at least the Gospels, every language, every tribe, every nation by the year 2050. Is that amazing? So some of you will be within your lifetime. We can see the Gospels translated and given to every language, every tribe, every nation. And we're actually thinking we're going to be ahead of schedule, not just through Pioneer, but by all the Bible translator organizations working together. And I'd like to invite you to be a Bible translator. How many would you like to translate the Scriptures? I know you're thinking, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. For $35, you can translate a verse of Scripture. $35, all it is. And on the tables around here, we have these little cards. You can take one of those, pick it up, and fill that out. And we'd be happy to have you partner with us in getting God's Word into the languages of the people of this world. Now, last week, I started this little mini-series called I Pray. And we talked about how to hear God communicate to our lives. God wants to communicate with us, and how to hear God communicate in our lives. If you were not here last weekend, I encourage you to get online and watch the sermon or listen to the sermon and understand the keys to do so, the kind of soil we need to be. You'll understand that when you listen to the message. But we summarize by saying you can't have a relationship without communication. You can't have a relationship without communication. That's not only true with people and families, but it's also true with God. You cannot communicate and have a relationship with Him unless you have communication with Him. But when I think of hearing from God, how can I know if that impression, that idea, how can I know that that thought actually came from God? How can I know that that thought, that impression actually came from God and not just my own thoughts or something I want to do, kind of a self-talk to each other? We think that's hearing from God. How do I know that it's not just hearing from me? Or how do I know if I'm hearing from God or if I'm hearing for the devil? I mean, the devil has access to our mind as well. You know that, temptation, trial. And so how do I know I'm not hearing from the devil? Or how do I know that that thing that I think is an impression from God, how do I know that it's not just some of the bad pizza I had the night before when I went to bed? So how do I know that it's really from God? It's extremely important to know how to discern when it is God talking to us. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end it leads to death." So there are times when we think what we're hearing from God, we're doing for God, really is not that way. We need to be careful of that. So as the verse was read for us just a minute ago, 1 John 4:1, John the Apostle says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them." Circle the word "test them" on your notes. "You must test them and see if the Spirit they have comes from God." You need to test them. So how do we do that? Well, that's what we're going to discuss this morning. How to test your message that you think is from God. How do you test it and make sure it's from God? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus took his disciples up to the region called Caesarea Philippi, or Banias. It's a beautiful area. It's kind of like a state park that you might have here that people would go to. They had the temples built to the various Romans and Greek gods there, so there was a lot of false pagan worship. And Jesus took his disciples up to this cool area at the foot of Mount Hermon, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, you know this story. Some said you're a reincarnation of John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. But Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Right on, bro." I mean, that's exactly it. Hand, you know, high fives, chest bumps. Just, you got it, man. That's exactly who I am. And Peter, I wanted to tell you that you didn't just figure that out on your own. That was revealed to you. That was communicated to you by God himself. It was a God thought. Are you with me here? All right, well, just a few, maybe within the same day, maybe a day or two later, Jesus taught that that he had to go to Jerusalem, and there he'd be arrested and beaten and tortured and crucified on a cross, but on the third day he'd be raised to dead. And when Jesus is saying this, Peter in the background is shaking his head, And after Jesus made that statement, he asked Jesus to talk to him privately, and he said to Jesus, "That's never going to happen, Lord. I'm not going to let that happen." And Jesus said to him the famous line. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Remember that? Because he's saying that thought didn't come from God. That thought came from Satan. Now, it's interesting to me. In one minute, Pete has this God thought, Jesus is the Messiah. And the next moment, he had a satanic thought. See, Satan didn't want Jesus to die because when Jesus died on the cross, he knew he lost. So he didn't want that. But the reality is he tried to communicate that to Jesus through Peter. That's why it's so important for us to analyze and to know what I'm hearing and who I'm hearing it from. How do we know when it is God speaking to me? In John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, "I didn't make this up. What I teach comes from the one who sent me." Now listen, anyone who wants to do his will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I'm making it up. Whether it's from God or I'm making it up. So on your outlines there inside your worship folders, let me encourage you to jot down 7 ways to know if an impression is a communication from God. 7 ways to test what you think is a message from God and how to do it. Now, let me just say, everybody look up for a minute. There are 7 ways and it has to meet all 7 tests. If you think you're hearing an impression from God, it's not, "Well, I got 2 out of 3, that must be from God." No, if it's a message from God, it has to meet all 7 tests. Are you with me this morning? All right, so what are they? Well, test number 1 is, does God's written word confirm it? Does God's written word confirm it? God will never violate his established words. His word is truth. And he will never violate his established words. Listen, God's voice will never contradict God's written word. God's voice will never contradict his written word. So if what I'm hearing from God contradicts something that he's already said in the scripture, it didn't come from God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will" what? "Never pass away." They'll never pass away. Now, for generations, people thought that the world was flat. They thought it was flat. But God said in Job chapter 26, verse 7, and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, that the world is a sphere hanging by nothing. And so we understand that God's word is true. There's a popular song a few years ago that said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me." But let me tell you, my friends, if God said it, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. If God said it, even if I don't believe it, it is truth. God's word is truth. Amen? God's word is truth. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul writes, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. If somebody brings a different gospel, you say, does that happen today? Yes, it does. There's a church called Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, Mormons, who believe that an angel delivered them a new message, a new gospel. Islam teaches that that an angel appeared and convinced Muhammad that he was the last prophet and the greatest prophet. And so if an angel even comes and preaches a different gospel, they need to be under a curse because God will never contradict his word. Revelation 22, verse 18 through 19, John writes, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the scroll, if anyone adds anything to them or if anything takes any words away from the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away that person any share in the tree of life and the holy city. So God will never contradict his written word. And if you have an impression you think that you see in the scripture and it contradicts the scripture, then it is wrong. So that's why it's so important for you to read your Bible and study your Bible and pray and memorize and apply the word of God to your heart. There's a second test. Not only does God's word confirm it, but test number two, does this impression make me more like Christ? Does this impression make me more like Christ? This is the standard of what we must evaluate every thought, every idea, every impression, every opinion. We need to evaluate every one of them. Does this make me more like Christ? Or is this just a passing fad? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every impression, every thought will be given to you to help you become more like Jesus. Listen, God's purpose in our lives is to make us more and more like Jesus. This life is preparation for eternity, and God wants us to be as close to Jesus as we can when we get there. So God's purpose in our lives is to make us more and more like Jesus in every way. Now, this isn't always pleasurable. This isn't always popular. There's a move today to modernize Scripture. There's a move today to say, well, that's what it meant back then, but that's not what it means in our culture today. And friends, that's a scary thing. So we need to focus in on the truth because the truth is to help us to become more like Jesus. Now, God is far more interested in our character than he is our comfort. There are times when we want God to be our friend and our buddy and our pal, but God says, I'll be your buddy, I'll be your pal, but you need to change. Because God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. Listen to what James says about these words that come from God. In James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, he said, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, such wisdom, such insight, such feelings, such communication doesn't come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That's why we've got to test these impressions that we think are coming from God. We need to test them and make sure that they're truth, that they're really truth. James goes on to say in James 3, 17 and 18, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So we need to test and make sure the message we hear is truly from God. We need to make sure that it helps us become more and more like Jesus. C.S. Lewis, who's one of the greatest writers of our Christian era and greatest apologist, writes, Christianity in its purest form is nothing more than seeing Jesus. You say, I want to be a good Christian. All right, are you showing Jesus? Do people see Jesus in you? That's why God speaks to us. So test number one, does God's communication conform to his written word? Test number two, does it make me more like Christ? And test number three, do trusted believers confirm the communication? Do other trusted believers confirm this communication? Listen, if God has genuinely spoken, other Christ followers will confirm. If you say, hey, I think God is telling me to do this, they'll say, yes, I think that's right. I agree with that. And so they'll confirm it. Proverbs 11:9 says, the common sense of the godly preserves them. And so you go to someone and say, you know, I feel like God wants me to be involved in this or do this. What do you think about that? And they say, I think that's right. I believe that's right. If you feel God speaking and you go to a trusted soul and they say, I don't think so. I don't think so. Then you need to trust that wisdom and that word as well. If someone says, yes, I see it, but other ones say, no, I don't think so, then you need to listen to what they say and trust when they give you that advice. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, let me warn you on this. When you start to find out if you think this is a word from God and you go to others and ask them if they will confirm it, don't search for someone to agree with you. All right. Don't go and say, well, I've checked with 10 people and 9 of them say no. And one of them says, yes, I believe that one. Don't do that. All right. Believe those that you hold accountable and hold you accountable. So number 3, do tested believers confirm the communication? Test number 4, is it consistent with my giftedness? Is it consistent with my giftedness? People have said to me down through the years, I think I could be a pastor. And I look at them and go, mm-mm. You know, and I'll tell Nancy, I'll say, so they think they'd like to be a preacher. And I said, I don't think so. And she said, it's because you make it look too easy. I'm sure Michael has that same thing that happens to him. It becomes very simple, very easy for you if you're working within your giftedness. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And God has given you, if you're a Christ follower, you have the Holy Spirit in you, then God has given you giftedness to do certain things well. And so you need to discover what those things are. We teach at the Compass that you need to find out how God has shaped you, S-H-A-P-E, how God has shaped you, because he shaped us, each one, uniquely to serve in his kingdom. And that shape is an acrostic. It stands for this, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, those are found for us in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4. There's a list of spiritual gifts there that God says that he gives to his people. And you can search there and determine what you believe your spiritual gift is, or others can help you with that. The letter H in the word shape stands for passions. Your passions. What is it that when you do, you just get a quiver in your liver? You know, when you serve in that way, you feel really good about it. Or maybe there's something that you see and it just motivates you. I want to do that. I think I'd like to do that. Those are your passions that God gives to you. The letter A stands for abilities. Your talents. You have some natural abilities. And if maybe you think that God is calling you to sing on the worship team, but you can't carry a note in a bucket, the answer is no. God has not gifted you in that way, all right? The P in the word shape is personality. Your personality. What is your personality? You think, I'd love to stand up there and preach and teach, but when I stand in front of people, I get nauseous and want to go vomit. Well, then that's probably not your personality. That's probably not how God has gifted you. And then the letter E in the word shape is the word experience. God leads us through a whole series of experiences in our life to prepare us to do the works of ministry. God never, listen, look up here. God never wastes a hurt. And when you're going through your life and you go through those tough times, especially those tough times, God is allowing you to go through them so that you can be prepared to give assistance to someone else when they're going through that tough time. And so your experience, your life skills that God gives to you are amazing things to help you as you grow in Christ and serve him. Listen to me. The way God has formed you and your life determines your best functions. So as you're hearing the voice of God, you need to ask the question, is this consistent with my giftedness? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, for we are God's masterpiece. Look up here. You are God's masterpiece. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you are God's masterpiece. Go ahead and say it right now. You are God's masterpiece. You know, some of you say, well, maybe he's a modern artist. I don't know. But one more time, turn to somebody else and say, you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And he's made you specially to be used in his service. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. And so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Now, we could talk much more about this, but I need to move on. Test number 4 is it consists of my giftedness? Test number 5, is it a message for me? Is it a message for me? If God wanted to talk to somebody else, he can do it. So let him. God rarely is ever going to give you a message that you need to go talk to so-and-so and correct them or talk to so-and-so about their giftedness. If God wants to talk to them, he can talk to them. God talks to you, and he wants to give you a message to you. Give me an example. After the resurrection, Jesus said, I'll meet you in Galilee. So the disciples went up to Galilee, and while they're sitting around, they're fishermen, so they do what they do. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. So they were fishing. You remember the story. And as they were finishing up their catch, Jesus was on the shore, but they didn't know it was Jesus. He calls out to them. He says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, because they hadn't caught anything all night. And they threw their net on the other side. They thought it was ridiculous. But when they did, it was filled with fish. How many remember this story? And when they saw it was filled with fish, you remember Jesus did that earlier, a couple of years ago, and someone said, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps out of the boat and runs up and goes to meet Jesus. And when he gets up there, Jesus is cooking some fish on an open fire. And remember that Peter just recently had denied that he even knew Jesus three times. You remember that story? And so when he comes up to Jesus who's cooking the fish, Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. No. Do you love me? Oh, Lord, do you love me? And this time it hurt because he remembered Jesus, why Jesus asked him three times. And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, then in the future, you're going to be bound up and taken where you don't want to go. And when you're going through those tough times, follow me. So Peter is now feeling kind of bad about himself. And he turns around and sees the Apostle John over there. And he looks back at him and says, Jesus, what about him? Do you have a word for him? And Jesus said this. Listen, John chapter 21, verse 22. Jesus answered, If I want him to remain and live until I return, what is that to you? Isn't that a great statement? You must follow me. He said, if I want to communicate something different to him, I'll talk to him. What is that to you, what I have to say to him? So don't worry about somebody else's responsibilities. You just do what God says for you to do. Now, let me back that up a moment. God can communicate to you about somebody else, but it's usually to confirm what they come and ask you. I think God is telling me that I need to consider doing this, and God may communicate to you that they'd be great at that. But in terms of delivering a direct message, you need to ask yourself, is that impression for me? Because if I think it's for somebody else, it's probably not God speaking to me. Everybody with me on this? All right, we're closing in on it. Test number one, does God's communication confirm to his written word? Does it make me more like Jesus? Test three, do trusted believers confirm it? Test number four, is it consistent with my giftedness? Test number five, is a message for me? And test number six, is it convicting rather than condemning? Is it convicting rather than condemning? You see, conviction comes from God. God will correct us. He'll challenge us to be changed, to be more like him. And he will convict us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, I will correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. So God will correct us. He'll challenge us. He'll speak to our heart and say, you know what? You've lost your first love, or you're not in your quiet time enough, or you need to be serving more. And he'll speak to our heart in that way. But condemnation comes from the devil. Conviction comes from God, but condemnation comes from the devil. He speaks condemnation to make us feel guilty and unacceptable to God, unworthy to God. Those aren't messages from God. Those are messages from the devil. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, John writes, then I heard a voice, loud voice in heaven saying, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, that's the devil, that's Satan, the accusers of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. This is Satan, and he's accusing you before God. They're not pulling their weight. You think they're following you. They're not following you. They don't really love you. Do you remember in Job chapter 2 when the Bible tells us that God was in heaven and the angels were around him and Satan comes walking up and said, where have you been going? He said, I've been searching all the world to see if I can find someone who is faithful to you. And he says, you considered my servant Job. So Satan's looking at your heart and wants to communicate to you and challenge you. But when he speaks to you, he doesn't convict you. He condemns you. Satan wants us to feel the weight of our sin and feel helpless and give up. But remember that when Jesus died on the cross, the last words he spoke is, it is finished. Telestai. That word means in a legal sense, paid in full. And when Jesus died on the cross and you accepted him, listen to me, brothers and sisters, your debt was paid in full. Paid in full. And he's not going to hold you or condemn you for anything you've done or anything you're doing or anything you do in the future. It's paid in full. So when God speaks, he speaks to convict us so that we'll become more and more like Jesus. God loves you just the way we are. But he loves us too much to let us stay that way. And that's why he speaks conviction into our hearts. Well, test number 7. Does his message bring me peace? Does this communication, this impression, does it bring me peace? If you hear a word that you believe is coming from God, but it brings you confusion or frustration or fear or condemnation, it's probably not his voice. It's probably not a message from God. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Listen, when God speaks to your heart, it won't be confusing. When God gives you impression, it will not bring fear. When God speaks to your mind, it's not going to frustrate you. It may challenge you. But ultimately, it will lead to the peace of God. It will lead to the peace of God. So there are 7 tests. If we're going to hear and believe that we hear this communication from God, these impressions, these words of God spoken to us, there are 7 tests to determine to hear if that voice is the voice of God. Here they are. Test number 1, does God's communication conform to his written word? Test number 2, does it make me more like Jesus? Test number 3, do trusted believers confirm it? Test number 4, is it consistent with my giftedness? Test number 5, is it a message for me? Test number 6, is it convicting rather than condemning? And test number 7, does his message bring me peace? And when you believe that you're hearing an impression from God, when you believe God is communicating to your heart, you need to test it, and it needs to meet all of this criteria in the test for you to confirm, I believe that is God speaking to me, and God wants to speak to you. God loves to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him, and he wants you to hear, not just through your scripture, yes, but he wants to speak with you and talk with you and communicate with you. I heard a pastor one day who was working on his sermon. His little daughter knocked on the door, and she said, "What are you doing, Daddy?" And he opened the door and brought her in and put him on his lap. He said, "Honey, I'm working on my sermon. I want to speak God's word to my church this Sunday." And the little girl said, "Daddy, I hear God speak all the time." He chuckled to himself at her childish ways, and he said, "Really, how does God speak to you all the time?" And she said, "Well, Daddy, he speaks to my mind. He speaks to my mind." If we listen with a childlike faith and an open mind and confirm that message, God will communicate with you. He will be real to you. It will change your life. And it will assure you of your relationship. But hear me. John writes the words of Jesus in John 8:47. Whoever belongs to God hears what the God says. And the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've not given him your heart, your soul, and your mind and your strength, if you've never, as we call it, get on base with God, if you've never said, "I believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, he's the only hope, the only salvation, no one else saves." If you admit, letter A in base, if you admit that I'm a sinner and that sin has separated from you, God, and if you, letter S in the word base, if you surrender your heart to Jesus as Savior and Lord, that word is repentance. That means you turn from your way and turn to Jesus. And the letter E is express. If you express that faith in Christian baptism, a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection, then you're a follower of Christ. And if you're a follower of Christ, he wants to communicate to you. He wants to talk with you. He has ears. Let him hear what the Spirit says. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for these truths that can motivate us and challenge us and change us. I thank you for the truth that you want us to have to set us free. And I pray this day that you would help us, Father, to understand that not only do you want to communicate to us, But you want us to make sure that when we communicate and when you communicate, we hear the right words. So I pray that you'd bless us in the decisions we make. If anyone wants to surrender their heart to you and make you his Savior and Lord today, I pray that they might respond to this message. And I ask your blessings on us so we can continue in faith. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.